Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. It's Monday the 19th of March, it's 11 o'clock and we are going live on channelradio.co.uk/2. I hope you are all very well and I hope you all had a great weekend. I know some of you might have been a bit snowed in, it's been a bit of a chilly weekend, but I think the thaw is on its way. Okay, on today's show, we have some really interesting information to go through with you this morning. And we're going to cover themes like heart health and why heart health is so important. We're also going to talk about fat and the reason why fat isn't the reason you get fat. And we did actually cover part one on last week's show. So if you haven't listened to that, please go back to my website or go onto iTunes, download the podcast, and you can listen to last week's show for part one. And we're going to cover part two of the reasons why fat doesn't make you fat. I also have with me today my special guest, Anya Jeffries, who is the founder of Women Work. Hi, Anya. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you on this morning. And we're going to be talking with Anya in about 15, 20 minutes and finding out more about what she does and also about the Women Work event that's coming up shortly. So before we go into detail, just a quick disclaimer. As usual, the Health Matters radio show is designed to provide competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate, inform and enlighten you in ways that you might improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I am not engaged in providing medical advice and the content of the show should not be treated as a substitute for medical advice. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or talking to your local pharmacist, not necessarily your doctor as the first port of call. And all content is provided for general information only and is based on my knowledge, my experience and often my opinion. And I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the content of the show. So that's a small print out the way. As I mentioned, we're going to be talking about fat a bit later. But a subject that's come up recently I thought I would discuss with you is CHD. So CHD is coronary heart disease. Now, coronary heart disease is one of the biggest killers in the UK, and it kills around 73,000 people every year. So that's about 200 people every day, or one person every seven minutes dies from coronary heart disease. About one in six men and one in 10 women die from coronary heart disease, but a lot of these are actually preventable. So about 50,000 of the 73,000 people that die from coronary heart disease are over 75, which means about 23,000 people a year die from a disease that these 23,000 are under 75 years old, and they die from a disease which essentially is preventable. So coronary heart disease is when the blood supply to your heart muscle is reduced because the arteries taking blood to your heart become narrow or get blocked. Now, this narrowing and this blockage sometimes can be outside your control, but often is actually linked to your diet and your lifestyle. So we're going to cover just very briefly some of the factors that will influence whether you are at risk of coronary heart disease. And some of these factors will be outside your control, but some you may be able to identify with, and they might actually kick you into making some changes to reduce the risk of you developing this disease. So some of the things that you can do to reduce the risk. So if you're a smoker, then quitting smoking can reduce your risk of CHD. And obviously, quitting smoking has other health benefits as well. Maintaining a healthy weight is important. And obviously, for those of you that do know me, you know that obviously type 2 diabetes is a big thing that I'm very much into. And maintaining a healthy weight also reduces your risk of type 2 diabetes. Eating a healthy and balanced diet and keeping active. And some of the things that you can't control are things like family history. So if your father or your mother or your brother or your sister has had coronary heart disease or had a stroke, particularly when they were under 65 for a woman or under 55 for a man, then the chances of you developing coronary heart disease as you get older are obviously quite high. And if that is the case, obviously then taking steps to improve your lifestyle, to improve your diet, to improve your activity levels, to quit smoking, become even more important. Your ethnic background can have a bearing as well. So the South Asian people in the UK are dying of CHD up to 50% more than white people. So that has an impact, obviously, your racial background. But Afro-Caribbeans are actually also at risk as well, and they are more likely to suffer from high blood pressure and therefore are more likely to develop CHD as they get older. Your age has an impact. As I mentioned, once you get over 75, the risk is quite high. But if you're younger than 75, you should be doing all that you can to reduce the risk. And gender. And men are more likely to develop coronary heart disease at an earlier age than women. So if you are in the high risk bracket and there's things that you can do to improve your health by improving your diet, by stopping smoking, by exercising more, and by maintaining a healthy weight, then obviously my advice is that you should do that. So quitting smoking, obviously that's important. Smokers are twice as likely to have a heart attack than people who have never smoked. But what's really interesting is within a year of giving up smoking, the risk of you having a heart attack actually falls to about 50% of that of a smoker. So the great thing about giving up smoking is it's never too late to stop smoking, and your body does start to recover from the damage done in quite a short space of time. And also, if you breathe in passive smoking, now we know obviously in the workplace and in public areas now smoking is banned, but people who are non-smokers do live, obviously, with smokers in some cases. And actually, passive smoking does actually massively increase the risk of developing heart disease as you get older. Eating well. So have a healthy, balanced diet. So have at least 5 portions of different fruit and vegetables every day. Enjoy good protein. So from meat and fish and eggs, obviously make sure you get the best source that you can. And also non-dairy sources of protein are good for you as well. If you're going to consume dairy foods, low fat is good as opposed to no fat. And for those of you that have listened to previous shows, you'll understand the reason why I'm actually quite against zero fat foods out there in the market. So low fat varieties are good, but the odd full fat is not bad for you either. And also when it comes to sugary foods, sugary drinks, or foods that are high in fat generally, then obviously they are to be avoided if possible. Eat more fibre. Now, this is an interesting one because fibre not only helps to reduce your risk of heart disease, but it also helps to reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes as well. And I see lots and lots of clients when I first meet them who are woefully deficient in fibre. And this is actually quite common. But the recommendation is that we should aim for about 30 grams of fibre a day. Now, for most people, they have no idea of the amount of fibre that they're consuming. And the best way to do that is to, or the best way to understand how much fibre you're eating is to do a food diary. And there's a really good app out on iOS and on Android called MyFitnessPal. Other diaries are available, but MyFitnessPal is a really good free app where you can actually monitor not just what you're eating in terms of carbs and fats and proteins and calories, but it does tell you how much fibre you're consuming as well. So fibre, so fruit and vegetables with the skin on, potatoes with the skin on, oats, barleys, nuts, peas, lentils, seeds, whole grain bread, whole grain cereals, if you like cereals. Those are all good sources of fibre, but make sure that you consume plenty of fluid, particularly if you're going to be consuming a lot of fibre, because if you're not used to consuming fibre and you suddenly start eating a lot, then it can cause some digestive issues. So my advice there is that if you're going to consume more fibre, take it step by step. Don't go bonkers. Cut down on fat. So cut down on saturated fat. So saturated fat is bad for the body anyway. So things like fats in butters and hard cheeses and fatty meats and biscuits and cakes and cream, coconut oil, palm oil. These are all sources of saturated fat. Now, in small amounts, things like coconut oil can be actually quite good for you. But the key is with saturated fat is really not to have too much, because generally speaking, it's not good for the body. Eat less sugar. Well, this is quite an obvious one. Sugary drinks, sugary foods, these are actually bad for the body, not just in terms of heart disease, but also in terms of obesity and also type 2 diabetes. And try not to add sugars to your food. If you're used to putting one or two sugars in your tea, try to cut down. The recommendation is to only add 30 grams of free sugar. So free sugars are sugars that you actually add to the food or the drink that you're eating yourself. So the recommendation is to add a maximum of no more than 30 grams of free sugars every day for adults, which is about 7 teaspoons. So that does make you think. Reduce salt. Salt's not good. Salt can cause it can cause high blood pressure. So the recommendation is to not eat more than 6 grams of salt a day. Although you do need a small amount of salt in your diet, it's actually good for you, a small amount. But around 75% of the salt that we need is already in the food that we eat. So if you're adding lots and lots of salt at the dinner table to the food that you've already cooked, you might want to consider cutting that down a bit. Eating more fish. Well, fish is full of good oils and good fats. So, you know, the omega-3 fats are good for you. So a couple of portions of oily fish a week, quite good. So good sources will be mackerel, salmon, fresh tuna, sardines, trout, kipper and pilchards. And try to have those that are in normal water as opposed to brine, because obviously brine will add more salt to your diet. Nuts and seeds are good for you. Drinking less alcohol is obviously a recommendation. And exercise. Try and exercise for 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. That's the governmental guidelines, or 150 minutes of moderate activity a week. So there's some good advice there. If you are at risk of cardiovascular disease or heart disease, it's actually worth taking on board some of those points, perhaps reviewing your lifestyle and your diet and making some changes to reduce the risk. So on today's show, I'm going to take you back 30 years. I can't believe it's 30 years. Taking you back to 1988. And we've got a few songs from 88 here. We've got Robert Palmer. I've got a great song from Sam Brown. And we're going to finish the show with a great song to cheer you up by Bobby McFerrin. So without further ado, the first song from 1988 is a great song by the late, great Robert Palmer, and it's simply Irresistible. We'll be right back.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. I hope you're all keeping well this morning. If you'd like to tweet in, the show's social media feeds on Twitter is at Health Radio Show. If you'd like a shout out, or you've got any announcements you'd like me to mention, or any events coming up, or you'd just like to say hello, then please go to at Health Radio Show on Twitter and drop me a tweet. You can also find the show's Facebook page if you search Health Matters Radio Show. And as usual, you can contact me directly if you wish at my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. We have a tweet in from my good friend Ian Wade from WBS Business Solutions. So Ian does things like photocopiers and machinery, office machinery, machinery and things like that. Ian's Twitter feed is at Ian Wade Bus, B-U-S-S. And Ian's put, say hello from all of us at WBS, and they are going into their fourth year of business this coming Friday. So congratulations, Ian. And as I said, for those of you that need any office equipment, then you please do contact Ian and have a chat with him. So we're going to talk about the Women Work event with my special guest, Anya Jeffries. Hi, Anya.
Hi.
And Anya's going to explain more about what she does, how she got into doing what she does. And she's also going to spend some time talking about the event that's coming up, the Women Work event, because I think it will be of interest to a lot of people out there. And it's not just women, it's men as well. But we will explain more as we go through the interview. So Anya, let's start with the basics. Obviously, we all have our personal journey. We all have our background and our story as to how we got into doing what we're doing. So what's your background? How do you get to where you are now?
Oh my goodness, I started off working in event management. So I was PR manager for BT. I worked very closely with press and broadcasting. I absolutely loved my job and I loved the people that I worked with. And I was very lucky to have two amazing mentors. And both of those who are still in my life today were always there pushing me out of my comfort zone, challenging me in a way that I felt very, very comfortable. And I learned all about growth and personal development. Mm-hmm. And then, as you know, I was in a train crash. I was very lucky to have been working with these two amazing men. And for that reason, male influencers have always been absolutely key to me in terms of, I suppose, my vision for the next generation. I couldn't do what I do without the support of the men in my life.
Mm.
As I think I said to you earlier, Neil, I it's like an oak tree. Men are the roots and the found, men are the roots, women are the branches, and together we form the foundations for the next generation. And everything, I think, in life is about working in partnership and in collaboration. The world is changing. It's no longer what it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, not even a year ago. We have to start thinking very, very differently in terms of the way that we grow businesses, in terms of the way that we run our lives at home, in the workplace.
And you mentioned about your parents. Obviously, your parents were a big influence in your life as well.
Huge. I was actually born in the UK. Both my parents, they were Polish, but they actually met in the UK. Mm-hmm. My father was in a concentration camp. He was serving for the Polish army in Italy. And he always used to say, and it's funny because when you're growing up, there are a few things that you always remember about your parents. And one of the things that my father would always say to us is, you can be stripped of everything, but the one thing you cannot be stripped of is your mind. And I think indirectly, he was teaching me what coaching and mentoring was all about. You have to have the self-belief and confidence. And if you can't find it within yourself, then you have the support of your family. And if you don't have the support of your family, then you need to go within the community.
That's absolutely. So. Obviously, to bring this forward to today, so taking obviously these influences in your life, your parents, the men that are in your life as well, How does that bring us to today? So how does that align with the event that's coming up? And we can talk about that in a bit more detail as well, and also with the book as well.
I'm actually a life coach, so I do lots of different things. So I am a mentor for the Prince's Trust. I'm an ambassador for Girl Rising. I co-present a radio show aimed at startups and young entrepreneurs. And I deliver workshops in self-belief and confidence. But everything that I do, it's all about giving women a voice. It's about women inspiring each other to inspire the next generation. And men are very key in that conversation, because we can't do this on our own. We actually need you to support us. So when I founded Women Work, it was as a result of, we heard of 7 people who had committed suicide in 11 months. And I decided it was time to change the conversation. So what started from a workshop for 20 people in self-belief and confidence in just over 5 months snowballed into, we had 2 events in one day, held at the Assembly Hall Theatre in Tunbridge Wells. We had a footfall of over 1,300 people throughout the whole day, 71 workshops and 52 speakers. And our event, it's aimed at women at home, women out of work, women who are looking to return to work, women who have never worked, women who are in the workplace, who are stepping on the career ladder for the first time, women who have set up businesses, who are looking to set up businesses, and who are wanting to just have greater self-belief and confidence. And again, it's our husbands, it's our brothers, it's our nephews, it's all the male influences that surround us who are key to supporting us. So we want men to come along as well, not just the women.
Absolutely, absolutely. So just to give a bit more background on your journey, obviously the train crash that you experienced, that had a profound effect on you, didn't it?
Huge, absolutely huge. And for example, for 7 years I couldn't travel on the underground, and my train crash, it happened within the first year of marriage, which is meant to be an absolutely fantastic moment of celebration. And I was working in the city, and I was taking the train to Cannon Street, and the conductor, he was high on cannabis and went into the buffers of the train station. I was in the carriage that concertinaed, so people died around me. And now when I look back, it's very much, I think that was my moment of growth, really, where I really, really changed. And as you know, I've just co-authored on this book, the Pay It Forward series, Notes to My Younger Self. It's a collection of 18 heartwarming stories from 18 women from around the world who are sharing their stories of hope, wisdom and inspiration in the hope that they may give other women a voice, to have the strength and courage to share theirs. And that falls very much in alignment with what Women at Work is all about. It's about giving other people a voice. Everyone is powerful. You are powerful. You are not invisible. You are strong. You need to find the right networks of people to support you.
Absolutely right. And I think it's really important for men and women to work together in that sense as well, because they are very much codependent, aren't they, on each other's success, but obviously on the support that they can provide for each other.
I think so. People always say to me, why do you call your event Women Work? Why don't you call it Women and Men Work? And the simple answer is, it started off, it was just me who founded it. I never thought it would grow. And there are 4 women who are involved now in the setup of Women Work who are on the board. And I have a fantastic committee of volunteers, and I couldn't do what I do without their support. And all our men, they are actually supporting us in the process. And even our book launch on Saturday, I was stunned by the amount of men.
You were quite busy, weren't you?
Honestly, I couldn't believe the amount of men who came there who were genuinely so happy for us. And they were there in the spirit of collaboration. And for me, collaboration is not competition.
Yeah.
2 very, very different things. And I think there are too many people in business who are still animals of competition. And it's just not positive. It's just not healthy. And I think with the way that the economy is changing, there are more people now who are suffering from redundancy, from bereavement, from divorce, unexpected illness. So overnight, their lives can change. And also millennials, they no longer are going to have a job for life. Yeah. They are going to be working two jobs. And I know that in my family, I've got my son who, he's 22 and he runs a marketing digital agency, but he has nine staff. And that's a that's huge for a 22-year-old. Mm. My nephew, he runs the largest coffee website in the world. My husband runs several businesses. I run several businesses. And then one of our daughters is just starting a new role, but she's also going to set up a business. And when I asked her the question, why are you looking to set up a business? She said, A, because I still need to pay my student loan back. And there's always a fear of redundancy. And what I've realized is I have to have a plan B. Mm. And this is what our event is all about. You have to have a plan B in life. And you have to find those networks of people who are going to support you. Yeah. But first of all, you have to ask for help.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing. A lot of people,
I think that is
how.
A big thing. I think, you know, when you, obviously you mentioned about the people that committed suicide, but I think, you know, that's an extreme case. But I think just in day-to-day life, there's so many people that go through these troubles and they think they're an island, and they think they're, you know, that people around them either can't help or won't help, but you won't know until you actually ask for that help. And when you do ask for the help, it's surprising the amount of people that are around you that will support you to help you out.
I have been absolutely blown away by the support I've had from the community on our first event, and now even on our second event on the 20th of April at Salomon's. So that's slightly different. It's going to be, we're not having an evening event, it's just a day event. We're going to have a maximum of 500 to 600 people involved in the event. I mean, the tickets are £25, so very affordable for everyone, but that's for the whole day. And we have 50 speakers. And I could not even be putting this together without the support from the community. So that comes from the speakers themselves. They're coming from not only from Tunbridge Wells, from around Kent, from London. Because again, you see, the way that we work in business is changing. It is, we do an awful lot. There are so many people who work from home, people who are actually having Skype calls rather than face-to-face meetings. Mm. And for me, this is an opportunity for businesses to actually to pay it forward and to gift their staff, their employees, with a ticket, because we cover everything from self-belief and confidence. How do you grow in self-belief and confidence? How do you self-care? How do you recognize the early warning signs of meltdown? Mm-hmm. How do you love yourself? How can you be vulnerable without feeling ashamed? Right to the other spectrum, how do you set up a business? How do you write a business plan? How do you write a marketing plan? How do you write that best-selling book? How do you collaborate within the community? How do you ask for help? And I think all of us, and we had this conversation earlier, Neil, we are very good at wearing masks. Mm-hmm. And it's time to stop wearing those masks. And for that reason, I've also have the pleasure and the honour of having Dad's Domestic Abuse speaking at our event. They'll be talking about recognising the early signs of domestic and physical abuse. Against stalking, Trisha Bunnell, whose daughter was murdered and stalked by her boyfriend, will be talking about recognising the signs of stalking. Beat, eating disorders, and Fagan's self-harming and parenting. And again, how many people go into the office, they wear that big smile, go to work, yeah, and they will never, ever share their struggles.
Yeah.
And life has to be about sharing what's going on inside. You can't keep wearing that mask. You'll have a meltdown.
Mm. And yet so many people do that, don't they? They really keep it in until, as you say, they have the meltdown or they get to a critical stage where, you know, something serious happens. And, you know, talking to people and depending on that support mechanism around you, you know, friends and family and close associates that you can really confide in. Because I think that's another issue as well that people have is trust, isn't it? People don't feel they can trust people to really open up. And actually having that close circle around you that you can speak to unconditionally, I think, is really important.
It's really interesting because when I was in the train crash, and this is actually one of the reasons why I decided to co-author in the book, I was at home. Actually, I'll share a story in the study, and I was due to have a phone conversation. And something that I ask myself very regularly is, if I was to die today, what difference would I have made to this world? And what impact would I leave for my children? I have three children, and everything that I do is about the next generation.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important for me that people around me understand the spirit of collaboration and not competition.
Yes.
And of course, for men, I think it's so much harder to actually find people you can trust to turn around and say, I'm having a really tough time,
yeah.
or I have financial worries about the family. I'm having, you know, I bear everything on my shoulders. And
because that's what us men do, isn't
that's
it?
That's what you men do. And that's
apparently.
What, yeah, but that's why I want you men to come
yeah.
and support our event.
I think it's really good, actually.
Through the power of conversation with other women and just with the power of sharing, you can take away so much anxiety. And that's something that we talk about as well at our, you know, our event. How do you deal with anxiety? How do you deal with depression? We're going to have someone actually doing a session on mindfulness. We're okay. also going to be having Fagans has a counselling room that has been donated by one of our sponsors, and there'll be one-to-one sessions for anyone who wants time out. And just the organisations, we've got Metro Bank, we've got Tesco's, we've got Tunbridge Wells Borough Council, we've got The Range, I mean, we've got the UK Health Radio Way Forward show coming. They're going to be there on the day. We've got Tino De Silva from Business Radio.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be live streaming it. There is something there for everyone to grow new, to grow in confidence, to grow new businesses, to grow new networks, and to excel in the workplace. So please, if you are a business and you're listening to me, please go on our website, www.womenworkevents.com. We have a major upgrade coming after 12 noon today. But you have a responsibility. You have a real corporate responsibility to be supporting your staff. They are growing your business. They come in every day and they actually show up. And how do you recognise? How do you reward them? Are you offering them training days? Are you allowing them to come to an event such as ours, which is 50 speakers in one roof for £25?
Mm.
There's absolutely no excuse, because you're not actually being role models to the people who are actually dedicating more hours working for you than they do with their own families at home. You need to start thinking about how you give back as an employer.
I agree completely. And actually, the whole subject of investing in your employees and your staff is a subject in its own right, isn't it? But it's so important. You know, employers expect their employees to come to work, do the job, take the money, and then that's it. But there's so much more. And actually, investing in the health and well-being, the physical and mental health of your staff is an investment. It should not be seen as a cost. So just to reiterate the website address, which is www.womenworkevents.com. If you go to Anya's website, it goes into a lot more detail. And as Anya says, there's an upgrade coming to the website today as well. It goes into a lot more detail about the reasons why you should consider going along to the event on the 20th of April in Tunbridge Wells. And that doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter your station in life, what you do for a job. There's definitely something there for everyone to learn more about. I will just put you back to Anya for a second, because I know obviously we mentioned her book, and she co-authored the book Pay It Forward: Notes to My Younger Self. So. Anya?
Right, yes. So it's Kezia Luckett. She is the founder of Women of Contribution, and she will be speaking at our event together with four other co-authors from the Pay It Forward series, Notes to My Younger Self. I will also be speaking at our event. I'll be offering tools and strategies to grow in self-belief and confidence. And in fact, all of our 50 speakers, they will not just be talking about their topics, they will be giving you strategies and tools to create a brighter future for yourself, your families, your home, and your businesses. And our book is out today in paperback on Amazon.
Fantastic. So if people want to get hold of you, Anya, how can they contact you?
They can either contact me by email. So my email is nextstepmentor, mentor, 123@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
I have my own website, which is nextstepmentor.com. And of course, you've got the womenworkevents.com.
Super. And I was actually going to mention that Anya is also a coach and a mentor, and we haven't had time this morning to go into detail about that side of her business. But as Anya mentioned, her coach and mentoring website is nextstepmentor.com. So please go to the womenworkevents.com website, book yourself on to the event, which is on the 20th of April. And I've got to say, for £25, it's a bargain. It sounds like a full-day event, and there'll be lots of takeaways there. So make sure people take their a pad and a paper.
And there's free parking as well. And this is an opportunity as well for you to get your name out there in the community and just to make new friends. Don't be isolated at home and in business. Find new partnerships.
Super. Thank you very much, Anya. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show this morning. And it's been great to find out more about what you do, to learn more about your story, and obviously for people to make contact with you and to book on to the event as well.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
That you've given me. Did you never worry that I'd come to depend on you? I gave you all the love I had in me, and now I find you lied, and I can't believe it's true. I can't help but wonder if she knows what's going on. Oh, you talk of love, but you don't know how it feels when you realize that you're not the only one. Tried to walk away.
I tried to walk away,
but it's not that easy when your soul is torn in two. So I just resign myself to it every day. Now all I can do is to leave it up to you.
Oh,
you'd better stop.
interested in collaborating with like-minded Kent businesses? Join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start growing your Kent business network for just £20 a month.
That was our second song from 1988, which was a great song from Sam Brown and Stop. And actually, when I was going through the top 100 songs of 1988, it was a really difficult choice to pick three songs out of what was, in my opinion, a great year for music. But yeah, that was Sam Brown and Stop. So just a quick reminder of the show's Twitter feed, which is at Health Radio Show. Please drop me a line, use the hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. Be happy to give you a shout out or just a mention if that's what you want. Or if you have any events coming up, I'll be happy to mention those as well. And if you tweet in between shows, and then I'll give you a shout out on the next show. And the show's Facebook feed or Facebook page, if you search Health Matters Radio Show, you will find the show's Facebook page. And as usual, if you'd like to contact me direct or find out more about what I do for a living and my specialisms, then please go to my website, which is i-nutrition.co.uk. So on last week's show, we covered the subject of fat. So there is a huge misconception that I find that people think it's fat that makes people fat. And actually, for the most part, that is completely wrong. And it's a myth that has, in my opinion, been perpetuated by the food industry. But we seem to be so far down the rabbit hole now with sugary snacks and low-fat this and no-fat that, that getting the message across that people have this fear of fat, that it's fat that's going to make them fat, is absolutely wrong. So I'm trying to re-educate people, and hopefully you'll have some, you'll get some takeaway points from what I'm about to talk about, where you can sort of maybe do your own research and make some adjustments in your own life. So please go back to last week's show, which was show 17, the 12th of March, because I did cover part one of the reason why it isn't fat that makes people fat, and there was a lot of content in there to the point that obviously I've had to split it over two shows. So, continuing on this theme, and let's continue with part two. So, let's talk about the whole exercise more, eat less mantra. So, the food industry and the exercise industry and the diet industry tells us to eat less and move more. The problem is that this can work for a while, but people will tend to put the weight back on. And it's estimated that only around 10% of the people who actually lose weight keep it off for a year or longer, which is quite scary. So actually, when you consider the diet industry, particularly the yo-yo diet industry, they kind of depend on people coming back to them year after year after year, which is their business model. But actually, if people were wise enough and educated enough to eat properly in the first place, firstly, they wouldn't need to crash diet to lose weight. And secondly, it would be sustainable and it would be steady. And they would generally keep it off for the rest of their life. And that's one of the things I teach people is don't diet, just eat the right things at the right time, improve your lifestyle. And actually, if you get those things in place and you change your mindset, you can actually keep it off for the rest of your life. And the problem is when you starve your body by eating the wrong foods, so you cut down on fat perhaps and you eat more zero fat this or low fat that, and you have more sugars, you have more refined carbohydrates. When you have lots of sugar and lots of carbs in your diet, your body thinks it's starving. Now that doesn't seem to make sense, doesn't it? So if you're eating lots and lots of carbohydrates, then your body thinks it's hungry. It doesn't make sense. It's quite counterintuitive. But when you eat sugar or refined carbohydrates, it raises your blood sugar. So this causes a spike in insulin. I've covered insulin before. It's the fat storage hormone that your body produces to deal with an increase in blood sugar. And the increase in insulin actually leads to this vicious cycle of being hungry. And when you have high sugar foods, it causes cravings, it makes you want more sugar because sugar is incredibly addictive, and then you overeat, and then you get fatter, and then you want more. The whole cycle is actually quite a vicious cycle. It's also worth bearing in mind, and it just popped into my head, that there is a hormone called leptin. And leptin is the hormone that tells your body to stop eating. And lots of people ignore leptin because it gets blocked by sugary foods. So it's worth bearing in mind, if you have a high sugar high carb diet. I mean, it doesn't have to be just sugar. For example, you know, there's lots of sugar in a pizza, but not sugar as you might think about it. If you eat lots of junk food or these foods are high, are high in simple sugars and carbohydrates, then it can lead to overeating, which leads on to that vicious cycle of being overweight and then craving more food. So why does eating fat-free, so fat-free food, so 0% yogurts, for example, make you fat and diabetic? So there were some interesting experiments recently on those people that ate low-fat, high-carb diets and those people that ate high-fat, low-carb diets. And they found that people that had a high-fat diet, and I do stress we're not talking about saturated fats here or hydrogenated or trans fats because they are bad for you, but we're talking about healthy fats, so polyunsaturated and unsaturated fats. Those that had a high-fat diet had a better metabolism than those that had a high-carb diet. And obviously having a good metabolism is important, and it does influence how much body fat you do lay down and how much, particularly in terms of fat, how much belly fat that you lay down. So what they found was that the high fat group, so you got high fat, low carb, or high carb, low fat, the high fat group actually did better in these studies. So what they then did is they did a thing called a crossover trial where they switched it over. So the people that were in group one then ate the diet of group two, and the people that were in group two then ate the diet of group one, to make it fair, to make sure that obviously individual metabolisms weren't going to come into play. And actually, when they did the crossover, they got the same result. So they found that when they flipped these diets for the second part of the study, those that had the high fat, low carb diet had a better metabolism and were healthier than those that had the low fat, high carb diet. So it does go to show that, you know, the old saying, you are what you eat. But when it comes to fats and carbohydrates, there is so much misconception out there in the market that it is fat that makes people fat. And actually, it's not fat that makes people fat or causes diabetes. It's actually excessive carbohydrates and, in fact, excessive sugar that has a massive impact on obesity and the development of type 2 diabetes. And what they also found out was that those in the high-fat group were burning around 300 calories a day on average, more than people in the low-fat group. And also the people in the high-fat group had improvements in blood cholesterol, and they had lower triglycerides, lower LDL, which is bad cholesterol, and they also showed bigger improvements with insulin resistance and insulin production. So that was quite an interesting study. So the take home here is that most of your fat cell biology becomes controlled by the quality and the type of the food that you eat. So if you eat quality fat and you have a whole food diet that's lower in refined carbohydrates, foods that have a low glycemic index and a lower glycemic load, and foods that are high in fiber, then that would actually indicate that you would have a better metabolism and you are less likely to put on weight. So being overweight is not your fault. So the food industry would have us believe that controlling our weight is about personal responsibility. So eat less, move more, and you'll lose weight. What they don't tell you is that the food industry have hijacked our taste buds. So the food industry and the diet industry in particular, because we are now programmed to like sweet and salty foods and saturated fat food. So, you know, the burgers where they're, you know, they have fat, but not particularly the good fats in them. So it's these slick combinations of sugars and fats and salts, particularly in junk and processed foods, that have hijacked our taste buds. They've also hijacked our brain chemistry and hijacked our metabolism as well. And the food industry knows this because these foods are biologically addictive. So it's also worth taking a moment to be self-accountable for the foods that you're eating. Take a step back, look at your diet. I mentioned earlier, perhaps do a food diary and start being accountable for the foods that you eat. Because when you take a step back, you start to realize that the amount of junk that you do eat, generally speaking, you know, there are some people out there that do have a great diet, and kudos to you, and, you know, please do continue. But for the most part, people that work, people that have a fast-paced life will generally grab food on the go, and it will be processed, it will be in a packet, or it will be from a takeaway. And these aren't the best foods to be eating if you want a healthy and long life. So do take account of what you're eating and do start reading food labels. And this food addiction is incredibly powerful. One animal study found that sugar is more addictive than cocaine. So when rats were given the choice between cocaine actually injected into them or sweetened water, they found that the rats were going to the sweetened water, because the water, the sugar in the water was actually more addictive to them than the cocaine. Obviously, animal studies and human studies are very different, but there's something there without a doubt that sugar is as addictive, if not more addictive, than some hard drugs. And what's more interesting as well is whilst cocaine and heroin only activate one spot for pleasure in the brain, sugar actually lights up the brain like a pinball machine. So sugar has a massive impact. I mean, don't underestimate how addictive sugar is. It has a huge impact on your brain and your brain chemistry and the hormones that your brain releases. So if you are consuming too much sugar and you are putting on weight, and you are at risk of type 2 diabetes, please do try to cut it down and even give up. And if you get to a stage where you are cutting down and you are giving up, then pat yourself on the back, because I've been doing what I do for a long time now. And when people give up sugar, it's really not an easy thing to do. Some people just do it like a flicking switch, but for the most part, sugar is incredibly addictive. So if you get to a point where you do even just cut down, if you're having 2 teaspoons in your coffee and you go down to 1, kudos to you, because actually that's not an easy thing to do. But obviously the goal would be to minimize the sugar in your diet. So you've got the choice. You know, you've got the choice to eat better foods, high quality foods, avoid the junk foods, avoid the processed foods. If it comes in a packet or a tin, yeah, take a view on it, read the food label, because obviously there will be sugars added to it, and start taking back this control. There is a good source of good quality foods out there. So chicken and fish and vegetables and fruits and nuts and seeds and beans and grains. And all these things that the human body was designed and programmed to eat and to thrive on. You know, if you look back at our diet 100 years ago, it's very, very different to what it is now. And actually, interestingly, if you actually look at our diet and our lifestyle and causes of death, we actually die from things these days where we bring upon ourselves. So heart disease and stroke and diabetes and dementia and cardiovascular issues. These are things that, generally speaking, are influenced by our diet and our lifestyle. Whereas 100 years ago, we would die from something that we caught. So we'd die from pneumonia or we'd die from tuberculosis. So the shift to actually dying from non-communicable diseases has been quite profound in the last 100 years. And you have to ask yourself why. And the reason why, in my opinion, is because of our diet and our lifestyle these days. And I mentioned earlier about exercise. Yes, try and get some exercise into your diet, into your daily routine. Do exercise that you enjoy. Don't do something that you don't enjoy, because you won't stick to it. If you like running, go and run. If you like walking, go and walk. If you want to jump on the rowing machine or play football or go and play badminton or tennis, if that's what you enjoy, go and do it, because it will help your body. It will improve your health, and it will improve your cardiovascular health, and it will help you to lose weight and body fat. But remember, the takeaway here is it really is not fat that makes people fat. Okay, there is no connection between fat that we eat and fat that we actually store. It's carbohydrates, excessive carbohydrates, and particularly sugars. So quite a deep subject. There's a lot of information there. You can go to the show's iTunes podcast. If you search Health Matters Radio Show, you can download this show again, and you can download previous shows. I do encourage you to download last week's show as well, because that was part one about why fat doesn't make us fat. So please do that. You can find previous shows also on my website. If you go to iNutrition or i-nutrition.co.uk/media, you can download all the previous shows there. I would like to wrap up the show by thanking Anya for coming on the show again this morning.
No, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure to have you on and to learn more about what you do. And just a quick reminder of Anya's website, which is womenworkevents.com.
That's right, womenworkevents.com, and with major website updates.
Shortly.
Actually, very shortly.
Excellent. And book yourself on for the event on the 20th of April. On next week's show, I have an aromatherapist from Pure Equilibrium called Natalie. I met Natalie at a networking event a few weeks ago, and looking forward to having her on the show, talking about more about what she does. Please do tweet in the meantime. If you'd like a shout out or to say hello, go to the show's Twitter feed, which is at Health Radio Show. Drop me a line and I will give you a shout out next week. If you'd like to come on the show, as Anya has done today, to explain more about what you do and how you can help people, then please go to my website, drop me an email, and we'll have a chat about you coming on to a future show. And finally, to continue our theme of 1988, is a great song by Bobby McFerrin to set you up for the rest of your Monday. It's Don't Worry, Be Happy. What a great mantra. Be happy, have a healthy week, and I will catch up with you next Monday.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy.